Hallelujah. Sometimes when you have someone like Havila around you, sometimes you just keep it low until that moment. Because if she knows, she's going to make a song out of it, and the whole world is going to, you know, come at you because, you know, she loves to have a good chat anyway. This morning, privileged to be here. I count it a privilege to bring the word each time I have the opportunity to. And we've been having that very wonderful series, Five Live, which have been such a huge blessing to me personally. I don't know about you, but for me, it's been a very huge blessing. And I am very pleased that I'm part of those who are having the experience of those words, because it's a blessing. If you have missed any of the series, please, I'll encourage you, go back on the YouTube page, see what you have missed, and catch up, because you might have missed much more than you thought you have. It's been such a huge blessing. Hallelujah. This morning, I will be speaking on the topic, suffering that brings endurance. You know, I'll be doing that topic this morning. Yeah, thank you, Andy. Let me move so that we don't have a situation. Okay, we'll be doing that part that says sufferings that bring endurance. Actually, the whole series have been about Romans chapter 5 and the first few verses of Romans chapter 5. So if you love Romans, you'll know that Romans wasn't written to unbelievers. Rather, Romans was written to believers. And when a book is written and targeted at believers, you would understand from those letters that are addressed to believers that they are aimed at helping the believer to advance in their faith, to become much more rooted and much more established in that faith which they have come into. So I want to believe God that as we go through the Five for Life series, God is going to be helping us to shift grounds from glory to glory, strength to strength. Hallelujah. I trust God he will do that. Now, there is this saying by this man called Friedrich Nietzsche, which says, that which does not kill us makes us stronger. He's a French philosopher of the 19th century. The saying became popular with him, but historians say that dates back to the days of the war between the Gauls and the Romans. The Gauls were the French country, Belgium, Sweden, and Germany. They are the Gallic countries. Back then, when Rome, under Caesar, wanted to have control over the whole of Europe and the rest of the known world, the Gauls were a resistant front that, challenged the Romans. Even though they were just in the neighborhood of Rome, they challenged the Romans, and the war lasted between, 50 BC to about 58 BC, where the Gauls fought to withstand the Romans. And what kept the Gauls going, part of their philosophy was this, that which does not kill us makes us stronger. So the more Rome hits at them, the more they bounce back to resist. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, some experiences are like that. The word suffering isn't a very friendly one. You mean if I come to you to pray and I begin to pray and I say, dear Lord, I call sufferings. That doesn't sound pleasant. That doesn't sound welcoming. But we find it true that life serves these bitter pills sometimes.
Now let's do some readings in Romans chapter 5, and I'll be reading from verse 1 or through 5. The first five verses, which forms our five alive, Romans chapter 5, said, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Verse 3, which is the verse I'm going to be staying on, says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. There are some things in the Bible which you can confidently and boldly call the pillars of faith, without which any believer will not be strengthened, will not be established, will not have a strong standing in life and in the presence of God. Without which you can't have a thriving spiritual life and experience, if those pillars are missing. The whole of the roof structure here is suspended on pillars. Without these pillars, the roof structures are going to come down. One of those things that happened in the World Trade Center was that the plane crash was actually crashed into the critical columns that were holding those structures, and once those began to give way, the entire structure began to fumble down. There are pillars in our faith. If it is knocked out of place and out of position or non-existent at all, it doesn't take much for us to fall back and fall out of the will of God, the purpose of God, and remain as strugglers in our journey of faith. And one of those pillars is the pillar of Christian suffering. You find these pillars in the Bible. Some of them are referred to as the doctrines of Christ. The teachings of Christ were phenomenally different from the teachings of the prophet in some of the instances. When it has to deal with issues, sometimes the Jews will say to him, Abraham said this to us, Moses said this to us, what do you see? And sometimes when Jesus speaks, what he says is contrary and overriding and overruling to what Abraham or Moses have said. At some point, he had to outrightly tell them, before Abraham, I was. Because he was rewriting some of the things which they were practicing based on the teachings they received from Abraham or from Moses sometimes. In Matthew 19, they say, Moses said to us, we can't do this. We can just for any reason send our wife packing out of home and bring in another woman. And Jesus said, have you not read that he which made them one? In some other case, they say, well, this woman was caught in the very act. This is what Moses said to us, to stone her to death. What do you see? He said to them, if you are without sin, cast the first stone. And every man dropped their stone and went back to their houses. The doctrines of Christ are established in the Bible as the pillars of our faith. These doctrines are sometimes also referred to as the apostles' doctrine, because actually, the summary of what the theology of the apostles was is the life of Christ. And Paul said in Galatians, him we preach, not ourselves. So they preached and taught the life of Christ to the people. So in the church age, that doctrine began to be known as the Apostles' Doctrine. And very central in this doctrine is the doctrine that has to do with Christian suffering. Christian suffering is a very key and central part of the doctrines of Christ. That doesn't sound like the theology of the modern day church. 1 Peter 2:21. I read from the Amplified Classic. For even to this were you called. It is inseparable from your vocation. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example that you should follow in his footsteps. English is not my first language, but I learned it early in life, you know, back in my country, Nigeria, you learn English from the cradle. It's, you know, you feel slighted when you are told you don't understand English. You won't go, no, I do. Because that's the language of official communication. We're a country of about 550 tribes and tongue. So the difficulty with having to find a lingua franca was there. But when the British colonials came and established their government, they left us with the blessing of English language that solved our different tribal problems. So we all come into English and then we speak to ourselves. Hallelujah. It's such a blessing to us anyway. Now, it says, for even to this were you called. It says, even to this. It's a way of placing an emphasis. It's a way of bringing it to the fore that this also is part of the package you've got. Even to this were you called. You are called into every other things. You're called into Abraham's blessings. You're called into great place of protection where the Bible says, you know, as the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. You're called into a great place of provision where the Bible says, my God shall supply my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amongst all those wonderful and glorious things, so also you were called into the sufferings of Christ.
Yep.
Think over it for a moment. Like I said, it's not a popular teaching in today's church. We're called not just to his blessings, we're called not just to his glory, we're called not just to his, you know, examples in other places, we as well called unto his sufferings. As if that's not enough. The Bible says by the testimony of two or three, a world is established. The Bible says by two immutable things, it becomes impossible for God to lie. You don't build a doctrine on just one verse and on just one recitation of the passage. You build a doctrine looking through scriptures and referencing scriptures. How they align and agree establishes the doctrine. You need at least 2 points to position. Now, in engineering, this is very interesting. I think God is also an engineer. You don't establish a straight line through 1 point. You need at least 2 points to establish a straight line. If I want this line to move from here onto that door, to the center of that door, I will need to reference here, reference somewhere in the middle before I get there. Otherwise, it won't be a straight line. If I put one dot, with one dot, I can draw as much as 360 degrees going around because I can go in any direction. But if I have a point here and I have a point there and I link them, it gives me a straight line. That's how the doctrines of the Bible is built. You build a doctrine on a verse that and on a teaching that is agreeable across the scriptures. So now, another passage to you know, establish this. Philippians 1:29. And it says this in the same spirit again. It says, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. Oh, that's strong. The Bible recognizes that it is a privilege to trust in Christ. That's on one hand. On the other hand as well, it's a privilege to suffer for him. The privilege of trusting in Christ is on the same pedestal with the privilege of suffering for him. You can't choose one and leave the other. Every coin I've seen has two sides. If one side is out of place, it's a deformed coin that loses its economic power to prosecute buying and selling. If you pick just the privilege of trusting in him that brings us so much of great blessings, and you leave the privilege of suffering for him, you are deformed in a way, and in certain of the blessings of God, you don't qualify. There's no choosing and picking between living in the privilege of trusting in him and then walking through the things and the privilege of suffering for him. Trusting in God is a privilege. And in the same way, suffering for him, which is Christian suffering, is also a privilege. Now we're going to come to this. What is Christian suffering? I want to make a summary and then we'll go into some demonstration. Every hardship, every problem, every temptation and trial, and every unpleasant situation or experience which we have to be subjected to because of our faith in Christ is a Christian suffering. Every trial, every temptation, every unpleasant experience, every difficulty that you have to go through, and the only thing and the only condition that qualifies you to go through it is because of your faith in Christ, it is a Christian suffering. It is a suffering on the account of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It can come in two different ways and from two different sources. It can come through human agent, and as well, it can come through spiritual agents. Do you know that every of the trial of Job had no human face? It all had spiritual entities operating against him. Not because he did anything wrong, and that was what defied the theology of his five friends. If you hadn't done anything wrong, why is everything going wrong about you? Sometimes we Christians find ourselves in that place where we're looking for what we did wrong. I'm telling you, it doesn't come because you did something wrong. It came because you did everything right. That's Christian suffering. And sometimes when it's coming from the spiritual forces and the evil spirits which are unleashed against the believer, it's hard to trace. It's hard to explain. But you're going through trials. Things are not working out. Emotionally, you are being torn apart. Physically, you are going through some challenges. Oh no, I went through an experience sometimes years ago. I was down, there was nothing. I went to the hospital, everywhere was checked, everything was done. Nothing could be seen, nothing could be explained to me while I was going through what I was going through. And I had this very senior friend, God bless him, we're praying together one day. You know, he was so angry with the situation, he called me and we're having a prayer. And when we're praying, God brought a prophetic word and said, these have no human origin. And we had to deal with the spiritual dimensions of things, and suddenly yours sincerely became strong without the medicals. And sometimes you go through situations in places with people and you are going through it because they know you are a Christian. They are serving you the bitter pill because they know you are a Christian. They know you are not going to take it to a certain limit because you are a Christian. Life is being made so difficult for you. You are struggling to have a breathing space. And all of that is being served to you because you are a Christian. It might be in the office, it might be in your home, it might be in your family, wherever it comes from, doesn't matter. But if it's happening on the account of your faith in Christ, you've been tried whether you're going to remain a Christian or not. It is Christian suffering completely. Hallelujah. Now we have some things to do. How? I haven't brought all my experimental agent. How can someone help me to get those cups there? Where's Avila? Okay, come on. Time to help daddy. I've got some cup there. And then I've got a bag of crisps there. I think those are the things I need right now. Yeah. Now. Yeah. Andy, you can bring the bag and tell the whole bag. Yeah. Whatever's left there. Good. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I want us to look at some things here. Yep. Bless you. You can. All right. I've got, this is just lemon juice. And I need two kids who are willing to help. If you're willing to help me here, can you wave your hand up? Oh, don't I have friends here? Harvey, not you. Not you. Okay. Elodie, come on. Ariel, come on. And you come. Yeah, three. Can we give a clap?
Yay!
Let's give a clap.
You need a third cup.
Hallelujah. Okay. Are you stand there? You're here. Now, hope you're not allergic to lemon. Are you? Lemon.
Do you need a third cup?
That's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Now, that's yours. Can I have the other microphone? They're going to tell us something. Yeah. Okay. Would you like to drink your cup now? Everything?
Chug it.
Chug it.
Ooh.
Oh, bless your heart.
Hallelujah. How does that feel?
Very sour.
Do you like it like you like chocolate?
No.
Can we give a clap to her, please? All right. Thank you for helping. Thank you. When you chew that, you feel better with your mouth. Okay. You've done yours. Now, how does it feel?
I used to drink it all the time as a kid, so. I'm into it.
Now, when you drank it the first time, what will you say about it?
It's sour and it gives you indigestion for the rest of the day, so.
All right. You did that quite well. Sure, so you've been taking it actually. Now, thank you for doing that. You can go back to your seat. You stay with me. Let's give a clap to that place. Not every time you have people who are willing to help. Thank you for helping. Now, it is said, I'm not a medical person, but I have checked and I've looked it up. And now this is what it says. Lemon juice supports heart health. It helps to control weight. It helps to prevent kidney stones. It protects against anemia. It reduces the risk of cancer. Improves digestive health. And this is healthline.com. And what they've said is these are not just theories. These are products of results obtained from trials and tests. They are obtained from experiments done. So they were saying this on authority. While lemon is able to do all of this, having it in your mouth isn't that funny. I mean, she had to squeeze her face to gulp it down. It doesn't taste like chocolate. It doesn't taste friendly, but in it, it's got some benefits. That's how the sufferings that we experience as Christians look like. It's hard while it lasts. It's painful while it's going on. But at the end of it, the Bible calls it a privilege. Why? There is a benefit. Now you're going to help me do something. You might be doing the hardest one. Now you keep your legs together. Okay. This is a 3 kg dumbbell. Yeah, thank you. Now, I need you to keep that way, and then we'll see how far you can go. Who can down for us, please? If you feel you can't keep it anymore, just feel free to drop it, okay? All right. All right. Now, she's got a trick. No, not that way. Yeah. Yeah, she's got a 3 kg dumbbell in her arms. Now you stand straight, please. Now you need to stand firm, straight, like straight, and then you hold it. Stretch arm, straight. No. Straight. No, you're leaning. Okay, yeah, that's good. Let's see how far she can go. The vibrations will keep increasing because her shoulder is going to feel the impact of that 3 kg multiple. All right, thank you. Okay, you get that. Yeah. Now, while she's holding onto that, in the first few seconds, it doesn't feel like anything. It feels that easy. But the longer she holds onto it, the more it begins to tell on her. And what it's telling on her, actually, it's not the 3 kg you can see. What's telling on her scientifically is that 3 kg multiplied by the length at which she's holding it. You see a 3 kg situation, she's feeling more than a 3 kg situation going on with her. You can never see as much as what people are going through.
That's very good. Yeah.
You can never see it. So sometimes when people go through Christian sufferings, we make a light of it because we can't appreciate it. But the person standing in it is feeling the heat, the pressure, and the impact severely. And this is why sometimes when you have the privilege of knowing what people are going through, try to stand up with them. Because they are going through much more than you think. Now, exercise is not the easiest thing. I'll quote NHS UK. Hallelujah. That's our very own, so it's an authority we can recognize. NHS have got this to say: exercise is the miracle cure we've always had, but for too long we've neglected to take our recommended dose. Does somebody feel guilty? It's medically proven that people who do regular physical activity have lower risk of coronary heart disease and stroke, type 2 diabetes, bowel cancer, breast cancer in women, early death, osteoarthritis. Toby, did I get that well? Oh, thank you. Hip fracture, falls among older adults, depression, dementia, and it continues. It lowers the risk. But having to go through the drills of exercise is the basic deterrent to exercise. We all know it's good, right? But we all can do it. I went shopping for dumbbell and I got into a shop and I asked them, can I get a dumbbell? The lady was like, not now. And I said, like, she said, that comes in about January, when people are making New Year resolutions. When they make New Year resolutions, they go grab a dumbbell. And before the end of the year, they drop it off because end of the month, probably. You talked about the rush to gym in January, and then before you know what, it drops down. We love the result. We appreciate the importance. But we can't subject ourselves to it while it lasts. That's what Christian suffering feels like. It feels like beating us down. It feels like taking us down while it lasts. But there is a benefit. And the only way to realize the benefit is to go through the way of the suffering. You can't excuse the suffering and then be included in the benefit. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. But if you identify with me, I will identify with you. The mother of two of his disciples got to him and said, I want one of my sons. Oh, what a glorious woman. She wants the best for her children. I want one of my sons to sit on your right and another one on your left in your glorious kingdom. And Jesus didn't contend whether those seats were available or not. He asked a question. Will they be able to drink the cup that I drink? If you don't drink the cup that he drinks, then you can't be glorified as he will be. So Christian suffering qualifies us for greater measures of God's glory than we know. Now, how many of us do chores at home? If you do... Oh, chores. Okay. Thank you, Jenny. Chores, you know? Thank you. Can we give a clap to all them that do chores at home? Well done. Hallelujah. That doesn't come true easily with kids or with children. It looks sometimes like punishment when you tell them go do the dishes. They like to walk into the kitchen when the meal is ready and the aroma is everywhere. They just grab their eat and go. They want to eat and abandon the plate there and move. They don't want to pick it up, yeah. Trash the remaining stuffs, give a clean wash and a dry and put there. They don't like that. No. They want to have the meal while it's hot, but they don't like the aftermath. Sometimes they don't even like what goes on before the meal becomes ready. Yeah. All they want is the meal in between. Yeah. And sometimes that's why parents are not happy, because they want you to go through the entire process of pre-meal, during the meal, and after the meal. And why are they doing that? Not because they hate you, not because they don't want your liberty, not because they don't want you to have liberty and enjoy yourself. It is because they know that going through all of that, it helps to teach you skills. It helps to, you know, help you learn responsibility and self-reliance. It teaches teamwork. It teaches and helps you to build strong work ethics. It also helps to build confidence and resilience. Hallelujah. While they emphasize that you must do these things, their target is that you grip these benefits. Yeah. They want you to be self-reliant, they want you to be very confident, they want you to be independent, they want you to learn teamwork. There's a lot buried in all of that that they want you to do. But here we are with generations who don't want to do nothing but pick the meal out of the plate and then they fly. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. The older generation know this. And sometimes you see them bringing the recipe from grandma because they learned it with grandma when they were young. Oh, I'm teaching you to be a woman. I'm teaching you to be a good man. I'm teaching you to be responsible. That's all you get to hear them to say. And I close with this to say, Christian sufferings are a way of God's blessing coming to us. I read two passages and I close. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 and 1 Peter 5:10 are the passages I'll close with. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our eyes on the things that cannot be seen. For the things which we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. 1 Peter 5:10. In His kindness, God called you to share in His eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So that after you have suffered a little while, He will restore, He will support and strengthen you, and He will place you on a firm foundation. God called you to glory. After you have suffered for a while, I have a strong conviction in my spirit to bring a prophetic word to someone. God said to me to tell you that suffering is for a while. That's not how it's going to continue forever. It's just for a while. And after that phase is gone, you will be strengthened by God. You will be restored. You will be supported. And you'll be established on a firm foundation. Once the temptation of Jesus was over, two things happened. The Bible said the angels, they ministered to him. And the Bible says he returned back in the power of the Spirit. Two phenomenal blessings. He was strengthened by God, and he was again anointed by God. Your trials will bring to you a greater weight of glory than you can imagine. Job didn't end a loser. He had more sons, more daughters, more wealth at the end of his trial. I say to you, people of God, if you go through it as it has come, at the end of it, God will make sure that you are restored, you are established, you are glorified, you are supported, and you will not be left alone. Amen. That cross was so hard, Jesus said, Eli, Eli, why have thou forsaken me? It was that painful, it was that hurting. But after it, the Bible says, as you see the Son of Man go in glory, Amen. He was glorified. You will be glorified. Amen. If you're going through anything right now, and you need us to pray with you, we're happy to do that. We can't feel it like you're feeling it, yet we're happy to stand with you. Amen. We don't understand it like you know it. Yet want to support you, want to be your brethren, want to be your company, want to be a people on whose shoulder you can cry on, want to be a people on whose prayer you can count on. I can tell you sometimes it gets that bad you can't even pray. You don't even have an iota of faith. You don't even believe God is hearing. That's the time you need someone. We're happy to do all of that. That's why we are Christians. Peter was in prison. He couldn't pray. Among ruthless soldiers. Chains on his feet. Doors locked. How could he have prayed when the soldiers wanted to sleep? And this is a man on a death row. And back then, criminal justice was nothing to write about. They could have done worse to him before the daybreak if he kept them awake with a vigil of prayers. The people out there could pray who had liberty to pray. And when those prayers were made, God brought him out. I want to assure you, the prayer of faith can bring you out. If you're a person of faith and you love to pray this morning, can we pray together, please? You might rise on your feet and then we'll say a prayer together. We'll say a prayer together. The Christianity, we are one body, and that's what the Bible teaches. We are one people, we are one faith, we are one God. I want us to do something differently this morning. I don't want this place to be as organized as we are right now. Please, if you're upstairs, if you can walk down, stand with someone down here, spread around, let's do that, and pray with people just for a minute. Say a word, you know, walk up to someone, say a word of prayer for them. You don't know what they are going through. They may wear a smiling face, but behind there is a cry. They may wear